Normal. Right, we're here. I'm here on behalf of my colleagues at OHSU in Portland to talk about state policy development to accelerate use of evidence-based practices for alcohol and drug treatment. The implementation of EBPs in alcohol and drug treatment has been driven by efforts to integrate best research and evidence, clinical expertise, and patient values. And increasing performance expectations and diminishing resources have really driven the demand for EBPs in substance abuse treatment. But little is known about individual states' implementation efforts. At the federal level, we don't have any policies currently concerning adoption of EBPs, but there have been a few initiatives like SAMHSA's online national registry where you can search for different best practices. At the state level, the states have designed their own individual public substance abuse care systems, and this creates substantial variation in organizational financing factors. And while states definitely have a relative degree of control over their own systems, that control is tempered by confounding things like budget constrictions and political climates, as we know in D.C. So each state, including the district, has a single state substance abuse authority. I'll call that the SSA. And these SSAs work directly with the sub-state entities to provide services at the regional and local levels and to work with them to develop their programs to address regionally specific issues. To date, there have been few studies on evidence-based practice implementation in substance abuse, and none on dissemination, although there have been more in the mental health field. And you'd see from that research that research often includes IDDT for co-occurring disorders. As far as SSA initiatives, the most prominent that I'm aware of is Oregon Senate Bill 267, which is now a statute which mandates the SSA to spend increasing shares of public money on EBPs for treatment and prevention services. There may be other initiatives out there, and they may be less prominent, but they may be just as important. So we wanted to look into that. We took the National Quality Forum's report on their five categories of substance use EBPs, and these are listed up there: screening and brief intervention, psychosocial interventions, medication, wraparound services, and aftercare. And the National Quality Forum also has identified these sort of broad categories of strategies for accelerating adoption of EBPs: financial incentives, regulations, education training, infrastructure, and research translation. And these broad categories allow for different states or other entities to tailor for their needs. So like I said, our current project examines state legislation and provider contracting. We actually are looking at many more things, but this particular presentation is about those two, to identify successful strategies in this area. So what we did was we developed a structured interview to use with participating SSA representatives to capture what their states were doing to promote EBPs. And we used the NQF's EBP categories and strategies in that. We had two phases of data collection. The first was just a brief interview last fall and early winter, and then we just finished up the second round this past spring. So it's pretty recent, I'd say, about as recent as you can get. For phase one, we developed a quick interview that the ATTCs administered. So we really wanted to partner with them since they are in contact, hopefully, with the SSAs in their region, and they work every day to help translate research to practitioners in their region. So we actually were able to get 12 of the 13 regional ATTCs to make contact with the 51 representatives. And when they weren't able to, or when they weren't willing to, our project staff followed up with the SSA representatives in those states. And all of us as interviewers were trained and provided with instructions for contacting the participants and a list of EBP category definitions so we'd be standardized. So we scheduled 15 to 20 minute phone interviews and emailed participants ahead of time to let them know what we'd be talking about. And we had a three-page structured interview that had both quantitative and qualitative items. And these questions specific to this presentation were on contract criteria and legislation. So for our first phase, we tried to get 51 and we got 49 SSA representatives, about half state directors or assistant directors, and the other half were program managers in treatment services. So since we then had been able to make contact with all those representatives, we decided to contact them directly for phase two. And this time around, we used the 7-page interview to really delve a little bit deeper into things. And this time we got all of them, about half and half. And it was basically usually the same person as the first time around. So we had our certain quantitative items, and then we asked each of the representatives to expand and give a little more information on what their states were specifically doing so that we can get a little more detailed look. And we also asked them to send provider contracts and other documents to help us really see what was actually going on. We analyzed the quantitative data with SPSS, and qualitative data we examined for content to identify certain themes and then categorize those so that we could get frequencies in SPSS. So this is actually from phase two. We asked each SSA representative what portion of contracts are made directly with providers, and as you can see, almost two-thirds of them, 90% or more, and usually 100% of the SSAs contract directly with the providers. And for those that don't, it was usually through the SSA contracting with the county, which then would contract with providers. So it tells me that, you know, they're really in direct contact with their providers, and that includes both grants and subcontracts as well as contracts. We also asked them in phase one if the use of EBPs was a criterion in contracting with those providers, and two-thirds said yes. And then, so in phase two, we asked them to delve a little bit deeper, and this slide is a little bit busy, but it basically broke down into three-thirds. About a third of the states reported that they required EBPs in their contracts with the providers, and that was broken down into about half of those actually had a specific EBPs, like we require the providers to use the matrix model, or they required the providers to choose from a list approved by the SSA. Or if they didn't do that, then sometimes they just said, we require them to use evidence-based practices, but didn't specify anything, any specific models. Another third of them approximately encouraged evidence-based practices, and again, it was more, most of those did encourage EBPs on a general level. And then the final third didn't have any kind of language regarding best practices. So the other main question we asked them was if there were any policy mandates in the state, and as you can see, no, pretty much. Three currently had them and 46 didn't. Although of those 46, some of them were talking about different movement, maybe towards legislation in different ways. So in the next phase, we asked them if they had any legislative policy in development. And still, you know, the lion's share are definitely not in that boat. But those ones that said that they do have them in development, a few states commented on how they had bills in committee or they had work groups that they were looking into it. So we wanted to go and look at, just get a snapshot of what the three states that do have legislative policies, and Oregon is the first because it's ours. So we have Senate Bill 267, which passed in 2003. It's now in statute, and it was implemented the next year. And its intent is to mandate that the SSA spend increasing shares of public money on these best practices, and it breaks down that in 2005 it was 25%, currently 50% of state dollars. 2009 it will increase to 75%. And they're required to make reports to the legislature after each one detailing their progress and how they're, and show that they are doing this. In contrast, North Carolina passed House Bill 381 in 2001. It took a few years to implement. And this was really more of a intent to develop and implement a state plan that promotes best practices. So they wanted it in their legislative language that they are promoting it. The state plans shall include strategies and schedules to promote best practices within available resources. So in contrast to Oregon, who's saying you must, they're saying please try, which is an interesting contrast. And then thirdly, Alaska just passed Senate Bill 100 just a few months ago, and its intent is to improve treatment outcomes by expanding best practices and consensus-based treatment practices and removing the barriers that prevent this. It does amend state law to give their Department of Health the power to develop a substance abuse system that uses evidence-based practices, but there's no money. I guess the bill started off as funded and slowly went away. And as it was passed, it's an unfunded mandate. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, if anything, with that, because you know they basically are charged with implementing evidence-based practices, but they don't have any financial means to do so. So I think I talked way too fast. Just to sum up our project findings, the majority of the SSAs contract directly with their providers. The majority also include EBPs in their provider contract language, but that varies widely from requiring or encouraging using lists or specific practices. And then very few states have current or planned legislative mandates for implementation. And overall, the SSA approaches vary widely, but it suggests that there is an organizational attention to acceleration at the state level. And we think that this pretty basic, you know, we didn't have a really detailed interview, but we're hoping to get some good detail back from it. And we hope that this kind of method and the results can offer interested parties, state agencies, policymakers, researchers, providers, the ability to track how an individual state is supporting these practices, how their support is changing over time, and as a general nationwide sort of shift towards best practices. And that's it.